U.S. is making its biggest military expansion into Europe since the Cold War, and it's going to cost us. You know, I'm just cutting to the chase here, and I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. You know, I'm a big believer in U.S. hegemonic power and ability, but I just want to point out what nobody really wants to talk about, and that's that it's coming at a really inopportune time. As our nation teeters on the brink of recession, I have argued, and I do believe we're actually in a recession right now. So we'll see how it all pans out in time. Welcome to the program, everyone. I have so much I want to share with you today because I'm just blown away by how our leaders try and downplay this. I mean, people that, by the way, should totally know better, right? People that are even supposed to be apolitical. They're trying to downplay any kind of challenge we're facing economically. And the reality now is, given that Sweden and Finland are looking to join NATO, we're going to see more volatility in terms of our international profile than we have before. And guess what? Energy prices are going to keep going up as Macron is trying to warn the president. You know what? Saudi Arabia can't do any more than it's doing, buddy. Maybe he should have thought about these things a long time ago, like the day he came into office. Welcome to the program. I am Trish Regan. Good to have you here. Portions of today's show are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. If you're interested in gold, I encourage you to give my friends over at Legacy Precious Metals a call. LegacyPMInvestments.com is the website. They have a free guide there that you can take a look at, all about investing in gold. Anyway, I want to get to what some of our leaders, economic leaders, are saying about our economy right now, because news today that things are even worse than we thought for the first quarter. But you wouldn't believe it by listening to the tone of Jerome Powell.
So the U.S. economy is actually in pretty strong shape. So if you look back a year, the U.S. economy grew more than 5.5%. It was really the big reopening year. Mm-hmm. And so we had expected this year to be that growth would moderate to a more sustainable path. We also, of course, are raising interest rates, and the aim of that is to slow growth down so that supply will have a chance to catch up. We hope that growth can still remain positive. But if you look at it, the strength of the economy, households are in very strong financial shape. They've still got a lot of excess savings from forced saving.
Really? Jerome Powell thinks we're in pretty strong, good shape? I mean, I would just point out that the latest GDP figure came in down 1.6%, worse than people thought it was in the first quarter. We'll see where the second quarter winds up. You know, they revise and they revise and they revise. And by the time all the revisions are done, I do believe that you may see two quarters of negative growth. And a lot of this we can actually pin right back on Jerome Powell, because in my estimation, the Federal Reserve was printing way too much money for way too long and brought a lot of this on themselves. In fact, The Economist Alan Blinder had a good piece in today's Wall Street Journal about this. Of course, he was defending the Biden administration, saying, not their fault, not their fault. I actually do believe it is in part their fault. Plenty of blame to go around here. But he made the point that the Fed just was too late, you know, too little, too late. This is always the story with the Federal Reserve. I mean, I think about my entire career and how I've watched the Fed this entire time, and I'm sitting there pounding the table like back in the year 2000. You know, saying, look, we got a problem. These tech stocks are way overvalued. Or even as far back as 2005 and 2006, I was looking at the mess that subprime mortgages had become. And I'm like, oh, but wait a second, this is going to be an issue. And sure enough, of course, it was. But it feels like we don't have the right policies in place along the way. And in fact, I'd argue that a lot of these policies actually wind up putting us in trouble to begin with. So that's Powell. You know, he's not taking any blame for this one. And you know, nor is Biden, because it's somehow all Russia's fault, and nor is anyone in the Democrat Party. In fact, when Powell was testifying most recently in front of Congress, this is just within the last couple of weeks, I want to point out how the representative, Democrat from New York, was trying to frame what the government did by way of its $1.9 trillion stimulus plan. Take a listen here.
Of course, during the crises that we had, We had to do certain things, stimulus and other things to make sure that we kept our economy stable. I mean, if without doing those things, we would have been in trouble. So the things that we did going through COVID, the stimulus, trying to make sure people kept their jobs, kept money coming in at the time, was what we had to do. Otherwise, we would have been in worse shape or not have as strong economy as we have now compared to other countries. Is that not correct?
Yes, I would say it this way, that our inflation is a consequence of very strong demand, in part driven by supply, by what Congress did to support activity, in part driven by what we did, but also...
But that helped stabilize our economy at that time, right?
It did.
And if we did not do those things, our economy may not be as strong as it is right now.
In other words, they're trying to justify that $1.9 trillion stimulus because they know they're in trouble. These are the Democrats. They know they are in trouble because they really screwed up. And you know who else knows he's in trouble because he screwed up? And that's Jerome Powell, which is why, you know, he's trying to give you a different line. Look, I get it. Like, nobody wants to say the U.S. economy is in a bad state, but I'm just a realist, and I don't think you can continue to have consumer spending the way they have been in light of the challenges at the gas pump. And not just the gas pump, the grocery store. You know, 88%, this is a brand new poll, 88% of small businesses are concerned about a recession right around the corner. This just came out from the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, which released the survey saying, you know, people are worried. Small business owners are worried. According to the SBE Council president, there's little breathing room for our nation's small business owners and their employees. They've gone from one set of economic challenges to the next just over the past couple of years. And that's absolutely true. All this inflation is catching up with small business owners because the backbone of our economy, the U.S. consumer, which makes up 2/3 of overall consumer spending, or forgive me, overall GDP, they're not spending as much. Meanwhile, there was another study, or a poll, I should say, done by a bank out of New Jersey that was just released saying 83% of Americans are cutting back on personal spending, according to their poll results, due to, well, none other than inflation. All right. So look, I guess the Fed's having its intended effect. The problem is, as we've seen historically, whenever the Fed tries to do something, it just overdoes it. Whether it's trying to stimulate the economy or whether it's trying to, you know, get that stimulus out of the economy, it never quite gets it right. And that's the problem we now currently face. There's a reason for that. And it's in part because I think that for whatever reason, government just has this idea that they can fix everyone's problems, whether it's Bernie Sanders thinking he can create all kinds of equity or whether it's the Federal Reserve trying to think that they can effectively play God with the markets. I mean, it ultimately just doesn't work. I've got a great example of this that I really, really want to play for you. But before we do, I just want to give a quick shout out to one of our great advertisers here, AMAC. This is the Association for Mature American Citizens. And they're working really hard every single day in Washington, D.C., all throughout the country to help protect you. I think it's an important time to think about this as we come up on a very important birthday, right? Happy birthday, America. July 4th, right around the corner. And it's critical that we stay true to kind of who we are. And I think about that, given the economic lens I look at the world through, very much in terms of our freedom and our capitalist roots, which I do think are in jeopardy right now. Just listen to the political rhetoric coming out of Washington, D.C. I mean, heck, Joe Biden's been talking about taxing profits at energy companies because they make too much money, as though that's going to somehow get us lower energy prices. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. I do think there's a lot of things right now that we should think about on this eve of July 4th. And this is an organization that thinks about these things every day. Again, AMAC, you can go there, amac.us/Regan. I encourage you to sign up. It's just $16. Get all kinds of great discounts on cell phone plans. They give you lots of great advice about insurance providers. I think it's really just a good thing to do, both in terms of helping to support values that I suspect if you watch this program, you likely have, while simultaneously getting all those perks, travel benefits, restaurant deals, etc. So go check out amac.us/Regan, my last name, R-E-G-A-N. Sign up today, get all the perks, and join more than 2 million people that have values such as yourself and be collective as a group to help work towards preserving this great country, its freedoms that we have. Anyway, let me turn to what I have been dying to show you. And for those that are really listening, and for those of you that are really loyal listeners of this podcast, you may have heard me play this before. It's actually one of my favorite sound bites because I think it kind of sums up. It sums up how our lawmakers think about our money, right? It's all pretend. Nobody thinks any of this stuff is real. This is Representative John Yarmuth at a Rotary Club meeting last summer, actually. I believe it was in June of 2021, talking to an audience that looks really bored and so not into this. But he wants you to know that the government can just keep on spending money. It doesn't matter. Here he is.
We don't have the balance of checkbook. We are like the banker in Monopoly. We create the money. We hand out the money. Everybody else plays the game with it.
Okay. Gotcha. We're the banker in Monopoly, or we're like the banker in Monopoly. We create the game and everybody just plays it, right? With our money. So that's why we never have to balance our checkbook. I mean, just think about that. This is somebody who actually has a pretty important position, like a really important position. The guy actually chairs the House Budget Committee. So you get the chair of the House Budget Committee saying we can do whatever we want. We can spend whatever we want. We don't have to balance our checkbook because you see, it's all just a big game of Monopoly. I mean, that's frankly just really appalling that any one of our lawmakers speaks like that and is frankly so disrespectful to one, the concept of math, and two, the reality that every single one of us is out there working hard, most of us, I should say, because I think a lot of people don't pay their taxes and don't have any taxes to pay. But those of us that are out there working or contributing through taxation, and this idea that somehow they can just keep spending and spending and spending, it's extremely irresponsible. But that's sort of the moment we're in. And that's what I find incredibly scary as an American who wants to ensure that, you know, the next 50 years are fantastic, and not just the 50, the next 100, the next 150. I mean, we have a country here to protect. We have a society to protect. We have an economy to protect. And so, yeah, you know what? It's going to be hard to protect that when Americans are struggling to feed their families and, you know, get themselves to work because of all this inflation. And I'm just going to bring it back to how I started with the fact that this is a huge deal, that there's going to be a much larger American military presence in Europe than we've seen since the days of the Cold War. And it will cost us something, okay? It's going to cost us something, not just in terms of how we're going to add to our debt levels, but also in terms of what energy prices are going to look like. Those are just going up. I explained in yesterday's podcast, season 3, 113, about how oil is a commodity, a global commodity that's traded on global markets. So it makes it very, very challenging to say, okay, we're going to sanction you. And I understand and I support the intention of that. However, this is just how it works. And if China is still willing to buy the oil, but we're not, we're basically contributing to pressure on oil prices, which is driving them up, while simultaneously sort of helping China and Russia. I mean, it's just, in my opinion, not well thought through. I mean, they it's like nobody gets the domino effect of any of the policy choices. And I'm not saying they shouldn't do this. I'm saying, guys, find a way to plan accordingly so that the American consumer isn't stuck. But I'll tell you this, I mean, just look at all the poll data. American consumers blame Joe Biden. They blame the Democrats. And I suspect that economic reality is going to walk them all right out of office because people are hungry for something different. Thank you for tuning in. As always, do make sure you subscribe. go to my website, trishaintel.com. We've got all the latest news and information right there for you, and I'll see you right back here tomorrow.